in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 21, verse number 11, the burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. Hallelujah. Lord, open our understanding to your word. Would you touch us and help us and anoint us, and that by the anointing we might be able to preach the word of God, and give us the refreshing anointing of the Spirit and power and presence of God, and move, Lord, in what you'd have done. We thank you, Lord, for those that's been praying, for the burden that's been carried here at this church, for those who are lost and unsaved, and we ask you tonight to hide us in the cross. Give us a burden to preach your word. We'll praise you and honor you and thank you for everything that you'll do in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to use for my text tonight, watchmen, what of the night? From Seir or from Edom comes a cry from Duma as he calls out and cries out to the watchman. He sees the watchman and he hears the message the watchman has proclaimed. The night's a coming. The night's a coming. The watchman, as he sits on the wall and looks and proclaims, Duma hears, and it burdens him and it troubles him and it stirs him, and it's to have a heavy load with a placed upon you with grievous and troublesome and distress and problems or real heavy pressure upon him. As we begin to look through this chapter, we find out that there's a burden of the desert, and the whirlwinds has come and it's passed, and there's a terribleness in the land, and then there's a grievous vision that is declared, and this vision that is declared is asked and the watchman has told, and he speaks about the watchman that he sets up, and he said that I set him up on the wall, and I set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. That's his duty. That's his responsibility. I reminded here, and I've told two or three, and I told Brother and Sister Nichols, I told Brother Mike today, I don't know for sure if I told Sister Nichols or not, but I told Brother Mike, sometimes back last year, I preached up at Jersey, where we go when we are at home and can get there. I preached on Sunday night for Brother Head, and our grandchildren went home with us after church, and my oldest boy has two children. At that time, my little granddaughter was four, and my little grandson was eight. And on the way home that night, she was sitting in the back seat with her mama. And of course, the boy was up front with me. And she said, Papa, said, I want to ask you a question. I said, okay. She said, why do you get up there and holler at people? Before I could answer, the little boy spoke up and said, he's supposed to. He's the preacher. She said, oh. Well, we got to the house and went through everything. You know, you go through the rigmarole, whatever round as you do, and then come down time to pray before we go to bed, as we always do. We were having them to say their little prayers. And my little granddaughter was praying her little prayer, and of course she was asking the Lord to bless the dog and bless Mama, bless Daddy, bless Mama, bless Chance, her brother. And she got down to me and she said, and Lord, would you help Papa while he hollers at the people? The watchman is to be on the wall. He's to be on guard. And he is to proclaim and tell us what he sees. Amen. He is to give a notice with a loud alarm of what lies ahead. Some years ago, I was preaching down in Nashville, Georgia, and this guy had never been to a holiness church. I don't guess any kind of Pentecostal church. And I was younger, and I was wound up and fired up and preaching. I mean, I was a preaching. He'd never been. His name was Abalami, but I call him Abalone. And he was from somewhere over around Iraq, Iran, somewhere over there, I guess Iran. And he was there in the Air Force and was going, and he'd come to church with one of the girls, and I was just in a big time preaching way. I mean, I got into it, and he just jumped up and hollered, "Folks, we better take a break. This man's going to kill himself." And after church was over, he invited us to go home with him. He'd never in his, he said, "Man, I've never seen nobody do like that. How in the world do you hold out and do that? How can you do that? Look like it'd kill you. I don't see how in the world you'd do it." And he was just amazed at how that I preached. The watchman is supposed to proclaim and announce with all strength and with all clarity of what lies ahead. And so Duma asked the one that's on the wall. Duma asked the one that sees. Duma asked the one that knows. Duma asked the one that lies out there that is standing on the wall looking as he hears the sound. And he asks him, "What about the night? I want to know what's in the night. Don't worry about the day. I can see the day. I can see around the light is shining. But watchman, you see in the night. You know what lies ahead in the night." Prior to this, the watchman cries out as he sees, and he sees a lion in the way, and he cries out, "A lion is in the way." He sees with a vision and a burden, and it causes him to have much heartache and trouble, and he describes it as a woman in travail. It perplexes him. It breaks his heart to see the situation, see the things that lies ahead, and cannot get nobody to listen and turn. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Oh, isn't it seemingly the same way in America today that you can preach and preach? September 11th can come, but it still doesn't change the course of our people. They might cry a few crocodile tears. They might wave a few flags. They might go to church a time or two, but they're right back in their sins and going along. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what lies ahead? Watchman, what do you see? I see a lion in the way. He's going to destroy. He's going to ravish. He's going to take away. He's going to rip and tear. He's going to kill. Oh, would be that somehow we could get men to stop and realize that we're all destined for eternity. Our only hope lies in Jesus Christ, the only Savior. If somehow, as a nightmare creeps upon us, we could warn men that trouble lies ahead. Some years ago on Highway 75, south of Cordele, Georgia, there was a fire that had got out on the side of the interstate, and it was burning, and it was one of those times when the smoke was settling down and coming down instead of rising. You know how smoke does sometimes when the humidity is at a certain place. And this was one of those cases, and it was settling right over the interstate. One young man had gone in. Another man went in ahead of him. He didn't see him when he went in. This young man went in and hit the back of this car that was going slow, and he was going faster. And he seen that it was a wreck, and so he jumped out. He ran outside of the smoke and back to the north side from which the traffic was going south. He began to wave his hands. He began to scream and cry. He took off his jacket and he began to wave his jacket. And he began to try to stop people. He stood on the white line between
between the two drives. He cried to the top of his voice. 43 cars plunged into that smoke, and several lost their lives. He was heard to say later, "I tried to warn them. I tried to stop them. I tried to tell them there was danger lying ahead, but no one would listen. No one would stop." Oh, God, as the Lord's dealt with my heart today and said, "I'm setting you as a watchman of a Shadeville church." Ever one more time. I'm not the only watchman that has been here. There's been other watchmen that stood on the wall. There's been other watchmen that have warned. But let me admonish you tonight, somewhere you'll pass your last message. Or somewhere you'll get your last call. Or somewhere somebody will talk to you the last time and sound the trumpet and warn you. "I have set a watchman upon the walls of Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. Continue to do it. Continue to warn men. Knowing the terror of the Lord will warn men. Warn men of what lies ahead. Watchman, what about it?" And there's a day. There's a day. Doom does not ask for the day, but the watchman tells him there's a day. Oh, listen. America's having her day, brother. We're having our opportunities. We're having our chances. But he said the night is coming. Whoa, listen. And then the watchman said, "The morning cometh, and also the night." There's an opportunity. There's a chance before God sends judgment to anybody. He always sends them a warning and sends them a chance. God does not put no blockades on hell. All he does is put exits and messages and warnings that you must turn while there's time and opportunity. Oh, God. Every generation, every people has had their opportunities and had their warnings. Luke 16, Abraham says to the rich man in hell, "Remember thou in thy lifetime." That was your day. It's night now where you are. Darkness is forever over there. Gross darkness is forever over there. There's no opportunities, no exit, no privilege, no chance to be saved. There's no way out. You are there to stay. You can't come back. Oh, did he have an opportunity? He had Moses and the prophets. He had every chance that others had, that Lazarus had. He had the same privilege that Lazarus had, but he didn't realize there was coming a darkness after a while and a night. Oh, would you listen tonight? A night, a time of adversity, a time of a dark season. Oh, God. Listen. While it's day, turn, seek before it's too late. Inquire. Turn back now. Turn back. The one is saying, before the night comes, before the enemy approaches, before destruction comes, turn back now. Turn or burn. Turn back before it's too late. Turn back. Come now. He's saying, come, let us reason together. Turn around. Come on back to me. You that have gone away, come back. You that have gone, I'm asking you to return. Inquire. Oh, ask. Oh, understand. Look. Turn back. Back. Set back to a place that it was. Turn before it's too late to turn. Turn while you can see the turn. Turn while God is merciful. Turn while God is is pleading. Turn while God is seeking, asking, and seeking you. Turn, turn, turn now.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. If you will inquire, and they had inquired, Duma had inquired, and he had asked about the night and what lay ahead, trouble. What lay ahead? Destruction. What lay ahead? Darkness. What lay ahead? No turning around. What lay ahead? You'll go past upon them, no return. Oh, God. Jeremiah says it like this. Also, I will set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. You have, no doubt, and I know I have, seen incident after incident of where God has sent warnings and signals and signs to people, and yet they would not turn. Oh, God, help us tonight. Help us tonight. Though He set the watchman to warn them, though He sound the trumpet and let them know. But when He heard them speak, they said, we will not turn. Their hearts became hardened, that they refused to turn. Their vision had become tainted with their self ideas and with their own ways. They could no longer see their need for a Savior. They could no longer see their need to turn. Oh, how sad it is to see people who you cannot reach. There was a time when I went through this country preaching. I could preach a message and folks would sit and weep and cry. And I'd go back to the same church and preach to some of the same people, and yet they sat there unmoved, unstirred, untouched. Great God, have mercy. As one man said, if only I could feel Him one more time. The night is a coming. Trouble is on the way. Darkness is in direction towards you. It's the day, but the night's a coming. Just as sure as the day comes, the night follows. And as sure as the sun shines, it sets in the western skies. And darkness creeps on. And trouble comes. It comes to every man and to every woman, but the difference is, if you know the Master and the Master knows you. Oh, hallelujah. I turn around now. Come on back now before it's too late. Duma says, this is your chance. Duma, this is your opportunity. This is your privilege. I've heard you say, watchman, the night tells what lays ahead in the night. There's trouble, there's chaos and destruction. There's sorrow and anguish. Before the night comes, turn around. Flee to the safety of the Master. Come back to the high tower of refuge. Come to the city of refuge. To the Savior of refuge. To the God of refuge. Though the trumpet is sounding, though the watchman is crying, though they see the tears in his eyes, they see the travail of his soul, they see the anguish of his spirit, yet they say, we will not turn. Oh, God, help us tonight to be stirred. You know what I've been praying for, America? Lord, somehow stir us one more time. Shake this country. Shake our loved ones. Shake the backslider. Shake those that's cold and indifferent, that we can have a stir one more time before you call judgment on America. Turn us around one more time. Oh. What of the night? What of the night? Oh, what's going to happen in the night? Lord, have mercy. The night coming. The days are coming.
And there's coming a night too. Oh, the time when no man shall work. The time when the light shall be turned out. The time when darkness shall be upon the land and gross darkness upon the hearts of men. The time when men shall grope in darkness and they'll not see their need and have no desire. Oh, watchman, what of the night? It seems to me like as the evening shadows lengthen and the darkness creeps upon America, it seems to me like less and less can we get people's attention to warn them of what lies ahead. Oh, how sad it is to know that though we try with everything that's within us. Somebody, I've heard people saying, I'm sorry, I can't agree with this. But I've heard people said, oh, if you'll pray enough, God will save them regardless. No, it must be their decision. We are free moral agents. We must make the decision. God's not going to make you be saved. He's not going to force you to be saved, but He wants you to be saved. He's not going to going to bind you and pull you in regardless against your will, but it is His will for you not to perish. But if you go to hell, you'll go on your own. You'll go on your own accord and your own desire and your own will. Hallelujah. Oh, the opportunities that we have. 97% of the preaching is done in the North American continent, mainly in America. Look at us tonight, right in the midst of us tonight, at the preachers that sits while I preach as well qualified to preach not only this message, but other messages and messages of warning and messages to encourage and message to instruct in righteousness. Nearly everywhere I go, we have more preachers than we do sinners. We have preachers that's wanting to preach and desiring to preach here in America, while 3% is evangelized in the rest of the world. And some of the preachers in other parts of the world is pastoring 3 and 4 and 5 churches and traveling for quite some extent for their situation to try to deliver the message and the gospel. America has become case hardened to the gospel. Brother, you can tell every sad story you can think of. They've heard some just as bad, if not worse. You can preach to them from the Word of God, and they've heard that already. You can warn them, and they can sit there and look in brazen face and say, I've heard it before. Their hearts have become hardened. Their minds have become seared. Great God, have mercy. Watch, Mom, what about it? What's happening? What about the night? Tell us. If you'll notice here, he asked the watchman twice. It's an important question. He wants to make sure that the watchman understands who he's addressing. He wants the watchman to know for a surety what his question is and what it's about. He doesn't ask about the day. He only asks about the night. He asked twice the watchman the same thing. And he says, watchman, what of the night? I don't know. He might have didn't understand what I said. He might, any time you find a word repeated in the Bible, it is double emphasis on being important. And so Duma wants to let him know it's important. Tell me, what about the night? Let us know. I have a burden. There's a heaviness upon me. And there's such a veil that's upon me. Oh, you're the man that's qualified to tell. You're the man that God sent there to look. You're the seer to see if the enemy is approaching. You're the one that's to sound the trumpet. You're the one that's on God. You're the one that to notify us. Watchman, what of the night? Oh, watchman, answer me. What of the night? And the watchman starts out. And he says, the day's a coming, but
also the night. I must tell you the night is a coming. I must warn you the day's going to pass. I wish you'd help me tonight while I beg somebody not to wait too late. I'm not to stay away too long. I have to take their chance. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, now's accepted time. Great God, have mercy. It's today's your opportunity. Today, if you'll hear His voice. I'm not your heart is in the day of provocation. Oh, Paul says to the Corinthians, we then as labors together with Him beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He said, I have heard thee in a day accepted. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. The nights are coming. The nights are coming. Get ready while this day. Make preparations for the night. The night is coming.
Oh God. I'm reminded of the little story of the little girl who was playing in the floor at her grandmom's house. Her grandmother was setting her, babysitting. They had an old a clock, one of the old chiming clocks that chimed every hour. And the clock had gotten a little messed up and got off scale somehow or another. The little girl, as the hours would come, and it would do its dong, dong. The little girl would count the dongs. And this day she played in the floor, the old clock began to chime. Dong, the little girl began to count. She counted 10, she counted 11, she counted 12. And as I said, the clock was off scale, and it went 13 times. And she counted 13. She jumped up and ran to her grandmother, screaming and crying and hollering, Granny, Granny, Granny. And grandmother said, yes, darling. She said, it's later than it's ever been. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, it's later than it's ever been. Oh, the time is almost past. The day is almost gone. The sun's a setting on the western skies. Our times are nearly over. I'll tell you, God was favorable and merciful to us, and I'm not doing politics, and I'm not trying to be political, but God was merciful to us in this president election to let us have a man who would give us another opportunity. One good friend of mine that I know that's a godly man. Oh, he's a praying man. He said that God spoke to him and said, I'm going to give America one more opportunity. My wife, even before the election, said, I feel like that we're going to have one more chance. I listened to Mr. Bush, President Bush, as they interviewed him on a personal basis on his personal life. And here's the very words, and possibly you heard it too. Here was the very words that he said. He said, every morning that I get out of my bed, the first place I go when I slide off of my bed is to my knees. And I talk to the Lord. And he said, the next thing I do is I get my Bible and I read. And I ask God for direction for that day. Now that might not seem like to impress you very much. But brother, it touched my heart to know that we had a man back in the White House that would get on his knees. That we had a man that would open his Bible and read. And they said, where do you get your direction? He said, from my old Christian heritage of where I was raised to trust God. Oh, hallelujah. Let me say tonight, God's give us another little space. He stopped the sun from going down on America for a little while longer. How much longer I cannot say, but I must say that she's nudging toward the western slopes to drop, never to
rise again. Oh God, I wish you'd wake up and realize that if you can't get saved now, you will not get saved later. No, no, no. If you can't run with the footman, how shall you contend with the horses? Hallelujah. If in the time of peace, how shall you do in the swelling of the Jordan? When God's letting everything be nice and every opportunity. Oh, watchman, what do you see? I see the night coming. The days are coming, but also the nights are coming. God stopped the sun for a little while. God's let the day last a little longer. He's let the shadows move back for a little while. But they're coming. They're coming. Great God, have mercy. I'm telling you tonight, it's time to shake yourself and wake up before it's too late. Stir yourself before you have no more opportunities. What about it? The nights are coming also.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. Oh, God. In verse 14. Verse 14, look what he says. Look what he says. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. All of a sudden, in the night that was enjoying. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's what John said. And in the darkness of the night of their pleasure, all of a sudden he turns it into fear when God steps in and begins to take a hold. Belshazzar was having a feast to 1,000 of his lords. Everything seemed to be going real good. They had a part had kind of dropped down some, so they sent over and got the gold cups and stuff from the temple that his father had got from the Israelite and from the ark and brought it over. And they began to drink wine and praise their gods and to worship them and to glorify and to magnify and having a party. But all of a sudden in the night, there come the finger of a hands man and wrote on the plaster over next to the town steps. Now no doubt Belshazzar had seen men without a hand with just an arm. No doubt he had seen men with a hand without fingers. But never had he seen a finger without a hand. A finger without an arm. But it was a man's finger and it wrote on the wall. It was in the night when it happened. And what Belshazzar didn't know that night while he was drinking and they were enjoying everything, God was weighing him in his balances. And all of a sudden, his night of pleasure had turned to fear. All of a sudden, the night had come upon him. All of a sudden, his days now had passed. They now were behind him. And only this night did he have. And the Bible said that night that Belshazzar was slain. And he was killed that very night. Oh, this could be the night. A church that I pastored in South Georgia, at Colquitt, Georgia, there was a young man there by the name of Cy Brownis. He had made good with J.P. Stevens Carpet Company. Cy had done real good for himself, an old country boy, just an old redneck cloudhopper. But he had made good, and they were sending him to Chattanooga, Tennessee to work and to be an executive for J.P. Stevens. I saw him that afternoon in town, and we talked. And he told me, said, they're giving me a go-away party tonight. His family was wishing him well, and they were giving him a go-away party. And they did. Different ones. His name was in the paper at our little local town, and his achievement, his accomplishments, seemed so great. He had already gone up there and looked over his desk, and he told me about how his office looked, how elaborate it was, and how plush it was. And starting that coming Monday morning, he would be the vice president to J.P. Stevens carpet company. I thanked him and admonished him, and I said, "Si, don't forget. And once in a while he'd come to church. And I said, "Don't forget us down here, you know, picking at him when you get up down and you the big wig up there. Don't forget that us old poor folks still lives in South Georgia." And we just laughed and talked, and I shook his hand and congratulated him on his achievement. The next morning, somewhere around 8 o'clock, the phone rang, and I answered the phone, and they said, "Brother Neil, yes, Si was killed about 1 o'clock this morning. And his baby." I can't believe it. I just talked to him yesterday afternoon around 5 o'clock. What in the world? "Oh," they said, "after the party, and after they had all ate and stayed up quite late, they decide they need to leave and drive on toward Tennessee. So they left out. Si was tired, so his wife was driving. And as they went along, she dozed off to sleep around 1 o'clock or 1:30. Went off the side of the road and down the ditch and hit a cement cupboard. And Si never knew. And went into eternity." Oh, that was the last night. That was his last opportunity. As they get us a song ready to sing tonight, I want to ask you this question. If this were to be your last night, how would it be with you? Could you say, "Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus"? Could you say, "It is well, it is well"? What would be your answer if he called? Job said, "He'll call and I'll answer." God's going to call us every one sometime or another. There'll come a night for every one of us after a while. But he who stands in the day also will stand with us in the night. Hallelujah, we'll trust him now. Oh, watchman, what about the night? It's coming. What about the night? After the day, the night's going to come. Prepare now for what lies ahead. Get ready for what's approaching. Get ready to face the night. Oh, blessed be those who have made preparation for the night. For the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and they shall go forth as calves to the stall. But woe be unto that man, that woman, who's only lived for the day and made no preparations for the night. Woe be unto that person who has only lived for their self and refused and would not hearken to the watchman, though he warned them there was a night coming, though he told them it was approaching, though he said to them, "Look at the sun going down," yet they refused to hearken. And what's so sad is everybody's not gray-headed that goes to the grave. Amen. Everybody's not old and feeble that goes to the grave. The young do it as well as the old. And I'm asking you tonight, as we stand, please, what about it? Are you ready for the night? Are you ready for the night? I must warn somebody. I must warn somebody. I must warn somebody tonight. As a watchman, I must warn you, the night's a-coming. It's ahead. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for the night? The nights are coming. You can't put it off always. Though God sometimes lengthens the days. Though God sometimes spans them out for a while, the days. But eventually the night gets there. Oh yes. If so, and yours is coming quicker than you think. It's hard for me to realize I'm as old as I am now. And how fast life has come and seemed to be going. And how that I'm on the sundown set of time, and life is heading on down the hill toward the sundown. A lot of people that I knew, a lot of people that I run with, a lot of them have already crossed over has already fell on them. I'm asking you tonight, as our sister sings, are you ready for the night?
There's room at the cross.
Oh God. Oh God. Oh God.
There's room at the cross for you.
Oh God. Oh God.
Though millions have come,
oh God,
there's still room for one. There's room at the cross.
Won't you come tonight?
For you.
Won't you come tonight? I feel like somebody here tonight,
Jesus,
that you need to pray. I'm trying to warn you.
Jesus,
don't put it off too late.
Do you know him
today? Don't wait too long.
Please,
won't you come on now?
Him away, oh,
Jesus.
Jesus.
What about the night?
My Jesus.
What about the night? The watchman sees what awaits in the night. The watchman has the vision, able to see what you can't see in the night. And he warns of the perils that's in the night. He warns of the night stalker. The lion does most of his hunting in the night. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. When men can't see and other creatures can't see, the lion's eyes is good and he goes stalking in the night. Great Lord. The watchman sees a lion in the night. He warns him, come in for shelter. Come in for refuge. Come in now before the darkness falls and the lions begin to roam. Before they begin to hunt and stalk and spring upon you in the night. Great Lord. I read a book about a person in Africa that didn't know much about Africa. And they warned him. And they said, sir, don't go. He wanted to go to another village during the night. And they said, don't go. The sun's gone down. It's dark. Between here and there are many lions. And they'll be roaming and they'll be hunting. Don't go. Don't go. But he persisted in going. He wanted to be there for a business deal the next day and left out on his journey. He didn't make it the next day. Some of the natives went to find him and they found him torn and they found just pieces and parts of his body. What it was, he had fallen into the hands of the hunter. He had fallen into the hands of the night hunter, the night stalker. He had fallen into the hands of the lion in the night. Who knows if he saw until the lion comes? Nobody knows, but there's one thing for sure. He was warned. He was warned of the night. I'm warning you of the night that lays ahead. When the stalker comes, when he rises up in your way and pounces upon you, won't you take heed tonight? Won't you listen tonight while I warn you to pray tonight? Would you sing for us, please? Would you pray with us?
Jesus.
Oh God.
Oh Jesus.
Come on and pray. As a Christian to come in, won't you come with us tonight? Won't you come on tonight? Oh, won't you come with us tonight? Come and seek the Lord. Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Come on now.
Without him.